This is a recording of Providence Road Church of Christ in Charlotte, North Carolina.
I have been waiting for just the right service to wear some pants that were given to me. A buddy, okay, please, let me tell you the story first. Many years ago, when I was Brad Childers in another church, there was a kid in the youth group named Larry Jackson. Larry was one of those guys who you just never knew what he would be up to. He was a gregarious, fun-loving teenager who, years later, I happened to hook up with via Twitter. And this last summer, when I went out to California, he said, "Man, I would love to hook up and get together with you." And I said, "Larry, what are you doing?" He said, "You don't know what I'm doing." He said, "Have you never heard of loudmouth golfware?" I said, "No. What is loudmouth golfware?" He said, "We make some of the coolest pants in the world. Can I send you a pair?" And I said, "Sure, yeah." So he sent me a pair. Now, you need to understand that this kid is the CEO or COO of this corporation that makes the wildest pants in the world, and they're basically for golfers, although now some head coaches and different teams are wearing them as well. There's a basketball head coach. They've made a pair that, and if you think this pair is something, there were several that I could have chosen from. In fact, I nearly wore this pair here, but I just thought, you know, I didn't know if this just might be a little too much. And when I got these, and he sent these to the house, this is actually a pair for Riley. I can't wait to see him in those on Christmas morning. Yeah, you can just imagine, right? When he sent these to me, and I laughed, and he said, "Boy, I wish you could preach a sermon in them." And then I thought about it. Today, I need to talk about making choices that are different so you can make a real difference in the world. And each time you see these and think, "I can't believe he's wearing those," I want you to stop and ask yourself this question. How willing are you to make different choices so that you can make a real difference? And boy, it's got to go way beyond pants. Can I get a oh yeah? If it were only as easy as just wearing a big cross, or maybe wearing a hat that says, "I love Jesus," or maybe wearing wild colored pants. If it were only as easy as something external, but that's not the journey Jesus leads us on. For the journey we're talking about is a journey that will take you to a difference-making life. A life that is not one that is just lived and nobody notices. Read something the other day that said, in the world of all the advertising and stuff going on, if you are not extraordinary, you are invisible. Maybe that's why Jesus got so much attention. Because he was willing to make different choices. He was willing to say, "I don't care if people stare. I'm going to go eat with the tax collectors and the sinners anyway. I don't care if people murmur and say, 'Would you look at him?' I'm going to be willing to associate with the downtrodden. I'm going to let people say, 'Well, I see him with the winebibbers and the prostitutes.'" Now, we started out in this journey with a very basic first step. Anybody remember what the first step in the journey is? We called it Christ trusting. Can everybody say that with me? Christ trusting. Trusting. When you place your faith in Jesus, when you say, "Okay, Jesus, you're the most different person history has ever noted. You made choices that caused people to double take and say, 'I can't believe he'd do that.'" When you trust in Jesus, because he is not simply a great teacher or a great leader, but because he is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He's the one for which our world for the next several months is going to say over and over again, "Oh, happy holidays," or "Merry..." Yeah, right in the middle of that is Christ. And I know you may have different feelings about Christmas, but let me tell you something. Anytime God serves me up an opportunity where more people are going to talk about Jesus than at any other time of the year, I want to be there saying, and can I tell you, as Paul Harvey says, the rest of the story. Because there's more to the story than just Christmas. By the way, on December 11th this year, we're going to have a Christmas program that is going to tell the story of Jesus. How many here ever saw or remember Bethlehem and Beyond? Any of you remember Bethlehem and Beyond? Well, this year we're going to do kind of something similar, only it's just going to be on one night. On that night, we're also, rather than having tickets, going to invite folks to come and bring non-perishable goods, which are going to go into our pantry to serve the needy in our community. But we're going to have fun. Today's actually our auditions for that this Sunday and next Sunday, and we're looking for moms and dads as well as boys and girls, and you can see Taylor for more information on it. But being a person who is Christ-trusting means that every chance I get to say, I trust in Jesus. Can you say that with me? I trust in Jesus, that He's the source of my salvation. That's where I begin. But you see, when I become a Christ-trusting person, then I'm also wanting to share that grace with others. And I become, can we say it together, grace-sharing. I move from Christ-trusting, which is inner decision, a decision to believe in Jesus, to confess, to be baptized in His name. And I step out and I want to share grace with you, both in the way that I look at you. God's been way good to me for me to be judgmental to you. But also in the way that I share grace with others. Now, if I want to share grace with others, I'm going to find that I'm going to become a person who is relationship building. That means I'm opening my heart to other people. That means I'm not just closing myself off and saying, well, this is just my family and my few. But rather, I'm saying, I want to get to know you so that I might love my neighbor as I love myself. Christ-trusting, grace-sharing, relationship-building, which leads us to becoming people who, as we see the needs around us, are community-serving. Most of you know that these are words our shepherds have challenged us as a church to pray about, to embrace these biblical concepts of being people who will bless our community because of how God has blessed us. We need to be a light, Jesus said, so that people can see your good deeds and do what? Praise your Father who is in heaven. And finally, we become, as we talked last week, world engaging. Folks who think beyond their small corner of the planet and say, how can I engage cross-culturally within my community and across the continents, across the oceans? How can I be a person who is blessing people in other places? And if you missed the Skype with Carly Dallas last week, when I looked up and saw her face on the screen and thought, 2 days ago she was sitting right over here. And now it seems she's a young lady who has chosen you talk about a different choice, graduates from Pepperdine University and says, I'm going to go down to the Baja and teach street kids in the afternoon in an attempt to help them have a better life and find the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you love that? That's called world engaging thinking. Well, when you do all of these things, you're going to be led to a place where I believe God will use you to be a difference making person. Now, some people try and make a difference, but I think they kind of miss the point. Now, this is true. I didn't make this up. In a recent, I think it was the Miss America contest, although it was one of those beauty pageants, the person from South Carolina, a very beautiful young lady, was asked this question. The question was, there are many U.S. citizens who, on a map of the world, are unable to locate the United States. Why do you think this is so? And they handed her the mic, and she said, well, I believe it is very, very sad that this is the case, that there are many people in the United States who don't have maps. And thus they cannot locate the U.S. There was a moment of silence as the audience said, did she really say that? And then she went on to talk about South Africa and Iraq. I think it was because on her prep card. And I don't want to put down anybody from South Carolina. But as I listened to that, I thought, honey, I don't think you were hearing the question right. You see, some people hear the question this way. You know, our church needs to straighten out everything that's wrong in our town. How are we going to do that? We could protest. We could carry placards. We could say we need to lock up all those people and drive all those people away. You see, we're hearing the question wrong. How can you and I make a real difference in the people around us for Christ? Begins with looking at how Jesus did it. Jesus came to make a real difference in people's lives by seeing what their need was and meeting it. Let me show you something. Open up your Bibles, if you would, to the 9th chapter of the book of John. It's a classic moment. In John chapter 9, Jesus has an encounter with a blind man, which his words spawn one of the greatest hymns of all time. But I want you to hear something, two little words in the middle of the blind man's comment. Once Jesus had saved this man's sight, he is confronted by the Pharisees. They come to him and they say, listen, we know that this man who did these things, I'm reading now from verse 34, this man is not of God. A second time they summoned him. Give glory to God. We know this man is a sinner. And then he says these words, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know. I was blind. Can you say it with me? But now I see. There are two little Greek words there that Luke uses. Denui, or rather John. Denui. Denui simply means, but now. It's a dividing line between what was and what is. Denui means, this is the way I was, but a real difference was made in me, and this is how I am now. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Let me show you some verses in Scripture where this little phrase gets repeated. Go to the next slide if you would. In Romans chapter 3, you guys say the but now when we get there. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. But now, a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known. Did you hear the difference? Before, there was no way that I could be counted righteous. Everybody say, but now. But now, Jesus made this real difference, and now I can be. Look at this next text. The Scripture says in Romans 3, verse 20, this righteousness comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. For you were once darkness, you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. And one more from Ephesians chapter 5. The fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So find out what pleases the Lord, he says. He goes on to say, once you were alienated from God. And you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Anybody want to guess what two words come? He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. But now. I find it interesting that it's those two. But now. Our world is waiting for folks who will stand up and say, you know, it's been this way, but now we're going to make a difference. Homelessness has been this way. Poverty has been this way. Hurting people have been this way. Marriages have been this way. Say it with me. But now Jesus wants to make a real difference. Of course, I recognize that I can't make a real difference in a world until God has made a real difference in me. Can I get an oh yeah? So as we talk about this, and you look at these pants that you know you wish you had some just like it, I want you to say to yourself, what is it that God is wanting to say to me this morning? Look, I know you've been hung up in this. I know that the selfishness or the sin or the habit or the addiction, I know that this old way of doing things has become so comfortable for you. But Jesus taps you on the shoulder and says, say it with me, but now, isn't it time we make a difference? Isn't it time you do something a little different? Well, people may stare at me. They may say, wow, you're different. What's up with that? How come you're not using that language anymore? How come you're acting this way? Why are you doing this? You know, friends, as we come to the end of the year, and you know, you're probably like our household, we start talking about Christmas, and my wife, who is a wonderful budgeteer, said, now listen, you know, we need to, and so we start getting our budget out and going over, well, how much can we really afford? And I look at our budget and realize, here is another place where God wants to step in and say, you know, this is what you used to put as priority. Can everybody say, but now? I want to ask you, what really matters? Amen. And what will matter in eternity? Amen. I am so thankful that God allows us to have a but now in our life. But he doesn't want to just stop with you and me. Here's what he wants to know. Are you really serious, Jeff, about being part of a difference-making church? A church that people may say, boy, I tell you, I don't know, they're kind of weird. They're kind of different. But one who is willing to say, yeah, we've decided that what happens in this building is not really what God is saying is the most important thing in the world. I used to think this was church, right? Showing up here. Showing up here is supposed to be the pep rally so I can show up like Jesus out there. Showing up here is supposed to be the battery charging time so I can go to my home and go to my school and go to my community and be Jesus out there. Amen? Showing up here is where we praise God for what God has done through our lives out there and where we love and encourage one another in here. You see, in the same way, we ought to be living difference-making lives that impact our community. A few weeks ago, I read the text about, you know, you being the salt of the earth. I love the way Eugene Peterson in his paraphrase, The Message, puts it. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. Don't you just love that? The seasoning that brings out the God flavors. One of the ways that salt impacts its contact, if you put salt on food, it impacts the taste. But you also know, I was talking with somebody the other day about meat, and they said we just would cover the meat with salt, and that would save it. It would preserve it. It would keep it from putrefying and spoiling. You and I are to lead the procession in this world of God-loving, people-loving individuals who say, I will do what it takes to preserve and to bring the God flavors out in the world that I live in. Now, anytime I do a sermon series like this, I realize that part of the challenge is, goodness gracious, Jeff, every week it's, oh yeah, and this too. You start out, you know, with trust Christ, okay, but then share grace, all right, but then build relationships. And man, now you want us to be community serving and world engaging. And it's like, you know, when mama leaves or daddy leaves and they say to the kid, hey, now I want you to be sure and, you know, and clean up the backyard. And oh, by the way, you need to get your homework done. And I want you to clean up your room. And listen, I need you to go out and rake up the leaves. And the kids are praying you will stop the list. Lord, take them now, please, because the list is going to take me till when Jesus comes. You know what I mean? You ever had one of those days where your spouse says, all right, Saturday, we're going to have a work day, and we're just going to get some things done around the house. And so you get ready to do it, and she's got a list of three things, or he has got a list of three things, right? And you think, man, we can knock this off by noon, and then we'll go do something in the afternoon. But as they work, they find more work. Is everybody with me on this? Oh, we need to fix that. Oh, we need to fix that. My kids used to negotiate. How many hours is this going to take? I want to know how many hours. Well, we only got a couple of things. Oh, no, it starts with a couple of things. Daddy, your couple of things are like rabbits. Before you know it, there's 2, 4, 6, 8, and they're right. It's true. They just multiply. So maybe this could help you today. If you're walking up this hill, you know, kind of journeying, right? And as you're journeying up the hill, you think, I am never going to get to the top. I am so worn out. If you have a good hiking partner, about halfway up the hill, they'll say, stop. Turn around. Wow. Look at how far we've come. I challenged my staff. And I said, could you help me with some numbers? Over the last 10 years, can we celebrate what God has done through the Providence Road Church of Christ? And I tell you, I was blown away at the things they found. Over the past 10 years, 600 families had their bills paid because of your graciousness. 5,000 different light bills and rent bills or medical bills because of you and what God did through you. 5,300 new shirts have been given away over the last 10 years thanks to the commitment of this church and folks within it. Do you know that we've given away over 11,000 bags of food because God worked through you to make a difference? And let me tell you, each one of those bags, most of them just one bag to a family that for that family may have made the difference that month or that week of feeding kids or not. And I was shocked when we began to add up. We've had 2,000 homeless friends from our community sleep in this building. You think we use this building just on Sunday? This next year, as a matter of fact, more than 40 nights, we're going to have folks, if I got my math right, we're going to have folks sleeping here in this building, or right about that number. Because God's working in you to make a difference. Can we all say praise God? We continued to look and saw that 520 plus teens have been on mission trips over the last 10 years. Traveled over 130,000 miles to serve and share Christ. There have been 1,000 sermons that have been translated into Spanish so that folks in our community could hear about them. But that's not all. Over the last 10 years, this church has given $1.2 million in benevolence and help to needy people. More than that, $1.9 million was given to world missions. And here's the one that shocked me. Total over the last 10 years, there's been about $13 million given by this church to kingdom work. 23% of all that went to other needs, to missions, to benevolence. In other words, it was given away. I asked Lee when he came to me with his stat, and I said, is this typical? He said, most churches are trying to give away 10%. Praise God for the generosity of this church family and of the leadership we have here in saying, you know what, we're determined to make a difference and not just for us. When it comes to Christ trusting, over the past 10 years, two different churches have been planted and are now growing because of this church in Central America. We've had 12 members of this congregation who have gone either into ministry or into mission work over those 10 years. And 623 people have been baptized into Christ because of the time, energy, love that you have given to honor Jesus. And the whole church said, I think we ought to just praise God for all those good things because He's the one that deserves the praise. But you know that there are some stories that cannot be told just by the numbers of what kind of difference has been made in people's lives. For that reason, we wanted you to hear some of those stories today and praise God for them.
When I was diagnosed with breast cancer.
When my wife passed away.
When I was really overwhelmed as a single mom.
When we were having a tough time in our marriage.
When I lost my husband in 2006.
Immediately, they started praying.
A couple of different people specifically that reached out to me, and we got together every week and prayed and talked about the struggles I was going through and the struggle that we were going through. And we would pray, and through that, I was able to get a lot of new wisdom and guidance.
These believers here just rallied around me and lifted me up, and they were there for me.
Really got me through that, just being here and the reaching out from people here.
Just knowing that there was a body of people that were praying for me while I went through the experience was a big comfort, because there were days when I couldn't even pray for myself.
And you just needed someone to fill in the church group, or just people that do those things, because they know there's a real need.
That particular Sunday night, it was our scheduled time for life group, and I was at home with the boys, completely overwhelmed, and the house was a disaster, and my entire life group, about 10 families, rang my doorbell, and each one had an armload of food. They surrounded us, me and the boys in the house, and prayed over us.
The Latino Life Group was wonderful. They surrounded me with prayer and with lots of love.
And the life groups have been so wonderful and just lifted me up.
Our life group stepped in when I couldn't afford a field trip for Ashton.
And they took me in and they loved me, and it just makes all the difference in the world.
Being part of this church family has made a difference in my life. This church has been our family. They've stepped in any time that I've had trouble.
Being part of PR has made a difference in my life because it really has given me an extended family.
It has made a difference because it helped keep me focused on God and what He can do.
Share your needs, you can share your prayer requests, and you get to know what everybody's needs are, and it's just like an extended family.
It's never been something that I've had to ask for. It's truly a family. They see the need and they meet it.
It's the hugs and the kisses and the warm wishes, and it's knowing that I'm at home, that this is my family.
Praise God for a family to turn to, and the whole church says,
amen.
Brothers and sisters, God's not done yet. There's more differences to be made. There's more people to be touched. It's my prayer that in 2012, God continues to just open doors for us. Right now, our goal is to double the number of nights that the homeless are going to be housed here in our building. We want to double the way that we reach out to our community next year. We want to reach more people for Jesus in a way that matters forever by sharing Christ with them in Charlotte and beyond. But none of that can happen unless God is allowed to make a difference in us. You see, making a real difference begins with those two words. I was, but now. God's at work. I don't know what difference God needs to make in you today. I don't know what it is He needs to do. As Paul says, we're no longer what we were, but we are new creations. We no longer, take a look at this text. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and say it with me, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God, who was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Did you hear Him say, He not only has reconciled us, but He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Fancy words to say God's made a difference in you. Now you let God use you to make a difference in others. But you got to make different choices in order to make a difference. And some of them feel awkward. And some of them may make you feel, I don't know if I could do that. Today, if you've not been baptized into Christ, it may feel really awkward to walk down here. Today, if you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, it may feel awkward to come down here. But let me tell you, by making a different choice, you can make a real difference for eternity, first in your life and then in others. Maybe you've just become one of those folks who've thought, well, I just go to church. That's what my religion is. I go to church. Well, I take communion every Sunday, as though that was the summation of what God wants us to do. Maybe you're sitting here this morning saying, you know what, I need to make a different choice so that I can make a real difference. I need to make a different choice with my family, with my language, with my pocketbook. My wife and I haven't been tithing, and we need to make a different choice. My family hasn't been serving as we should. We need to make a different choice. This morning, I just have two words for you. I know what it's been like, but now God offers you a time to make a difference. Bow with me. Father, as we sing this invitation song, I ask you to give those that need to come the courage that they might come and experience a real difference because of you. whether they need to come and give their heart and life to Jesus or just to say, I need to start over, will you give them the courage to do that right now? I pray in Christ Jesus' holy name, and all that agree say, amen. As we stand and as we sing, if you're in need, won't you come?